So one of the most powerful teachings of vigilance has to do with minding our own business, truly minding our own business. I love this quote from Byron Katie. She said, "What I believe about me is my business. What you believe about me is your business." And so when we can make the distinction between what is and is not our business, this discernment immediately impacts our experience of life. When I am truly minding my own business, I am embodying my dignity, my honesty, my integrity that I so deeply value. Minding my own business frees up our life force to be directed only to where it's meant to go. Often when we hear this phrase, mind your own business, we think of it in relation to perhaps gossip or the human tendency of involving ourselves in other people's business. Right? And that is part of it for sure. But I'm speaking about something much deeper, which has to do with the conscious awareness, responsibility, and boundaries that we bring to the process of making choices in our lives, to attending the business of our lives, both internally and externally. We've talked a lot about the necessity of overhearing ourselves. So this subtle mechanism of self-listening is essential in alerting ourselves to whether we are attending our own business or something other than our business. That's really how we track it, is in this listening. And so once again, it can be extremely useful to turn up the volume on this mechanism of overhearing oneself in thought, overhearing or overwatching oneself in action, really paying attention to where we are placing our attention, to see if what we are attending to is truly our business or in fact something else. I can't tell you how often in any given day, as one aspect or practice or discipline of vigilance, I find myself in the simple question, what's my business here? Is this my business or not my business? And I can feel right away when I come back to what my business is, it's a sobering return. It's often a boundary of not my business. Even if that's a boundary I'm making with my own mind's tendency to want to fixate on something that I can't control or fixate on the future. It's this loving, compassionate voice that comes in to say, not my business, not my business, right? That's a way that we can be vigilant. Vigilant to what is our business. So when I fail to mind my own business, sometimes the first clue of this is noticing that I'm bothered by something I can't control, right? It's that feeling of the angst that comes from knowing that I can't control some aspect of life, some aspect of somebody else's life, some aspect of my own experience. That can be a real clue that I'm not minding my own business. Another clue can show up as an intensely opinionated or self-righteous stance about someone else's life or even my own life unfolding. That defended, opinionated, often, sometimes that's beautiful, passionate, opinionated power that we bring, no problem with it. But if there's suffering in it, if there is some drama in it or suffering, then often it's a sign that I am not minding my own business. Tending to business other than my own serves to distract me with avoidance or with procrastination around that which is my business, right? So sometimes minding business other than my own is simply a form of avoidance. Also, there can be a way that getting ensnared in the drama of the lives around us is a way that not minding our business can simply fuel that drama, can fuel the suffering that comes with drama. We can be addicted to minding business other than our own. It's very important to see. When I finally chose to lay down my long-held desire for partnership, it was partly due to realizing the great extent to which I was suffering in this fixation, but it was also due to the sobering realization that it was literally not my business whether or not my life included partnership. It's not my business. Just like it's not my business how my form is used in service of this which I've realized. My business is to make myself useful. My business is to attend to my own prayer, to let this love use my life. My business is to love myself and love my life regardless of whether it ever includes partnership. My business is not how it ends up looking. It's not my business how people receive me or my work. My business is the transmission. My business is the love that I'm here to embody. My business is my devotion to the truth. Not my business how this lands for other people. You see that distinction? As we untangle our business from what we have imagined our business is, this allows for more space. More space. More space to simply attend to what's true for us to attend to. When we believe that our life needs to look a certain way or include a certain set of circumstances or connections in order for us to be happy, this guarantees a perpetual dissatisfaction and yearning. When we recognize that how it looks is not our business, that how we show up to it is our business, this clarifies our moment by moment attention. It is absolutely my business to remain open to whatever life wants to bring my way, whether that's a partnership or a certain opportunity to serve. It's my business to stay open and keep listening and paying attention. But it's not my business to fixate on a particular way life needs to look in order for me to thrive in love, right? I found it liberating to distinguish what is essentially only the business of the unknown. When we can honestly discern that the issue we are attending to is in God's hands, as opposed to our own, then we can humbly bow to what's holding it all and directing it all and designing it all way better than we ever could. This discovery can either come as a huge and welcome relief, or it can feel a bit unsettling to really recognize how much is out of our hands, how much is not our business, right? Letting what's mysterious stay in the mystery can require a fair amount of surrendering our need for control. So the tendency of minding business other than our own is usually wrapped up in this need to be in control. So in order to mind our own business, sometimes we have to be willing to presence fear or vulnerability or uncertainty, this sense of not knowing, this sense of it being out of our hands. And as we presence that and give it back to the unknown, give it back to the altar, give it back to the mystery where it belongs, we can feel what gets freed up from that micromanaging of life to try to go our way, to try to make it the way we need it to go in order for it to feel okay to us. When we can lay down that strategy for control and come back to what is our business, which is often simply to be. Our business is to be ourselves. Our business is to be here right now, feeling what we're feeling, finding self-compassion, holding ourselves with love. That's often the greatest extent of our business. Early on in my co-parenting dance with my kid's dad, Chris, I was given a very strong teaching around the necessity of minding my own business. After we divorced, we struggled to truly divorce from the patterns of suffering that had been so much a part of our marriage and why it was true to separate. And part of that had to do with my ideas of how I wanted him to show up as a co-parent. And the suffering that I felt when he didn't show up in those ways. And so thankfully, I finally got clear about what was and was not my business in relation to him and our co-parenting dance. As I recognized that it was not my business how he chose to show up, but absolutely my business to tend to my own children, to tend to my own home, to tend to my own health, to tend to my own peace, my own sanity, to protect and provide for my children 100% of the time, if that was what was required. It was my business to not suffer. It was my business to be clear so that I could show up to myself, my children, my home, my profession. This represented a radical internal shift to lay down the war that was being fueled by my refusal to mind my own business. It required that I fully own my own creation of suffering in my life. I got to really make use of his mirror, his very challenging mirror at a whole other level, and recognize that his choices were inviting me to step up into greater capacity and competency and responsibility and peace. And that was my business, that how I made use of the challenges his mirror provided, my business. Being the overseeing judge of his actions, not my business. Very important to see how not minding our business can be an extraordinary culprit of suffering in our lives. So yes, sometimes seeing what is and is not our business requires us to expand in our capacity to hold what we've imagined it's other people's jobs to hold for us. What is your business, really, truly? I can tell you why this question matters so much to me personally. It matters to me because life is fleeting. Presence is precious. And our attention is the currency with which we spend our life energy. I want my life to be of good use. I want each day for my attention to flow in the directions that can best serve my life's offering and expression. I want love to be my primary business. I want truth to be my primary business. And in order to do that, to be that, I need to clearly and honestly face everything else that I make my business that runs contrary to love and to truth. This is vigilance, noticing how we are minding business other than our own. Because when our own peace and love and sanity is truly our main business, when stillness is our business, and when we take responsibility for the creation of anything other than that, then we have a chance to move into right relationship with life. Right? Do you see this? We no longer demand that life dutifully perform and provide us with the experiences and the people that will guarantee us joy and security and peace. We instead realize that it's none of our business what life does or what other people do. Our business is to meet our lives and whatever they bring with the precise presence of heart that we wish to experience. When it really comes down to it, what is the business of your lifetime? What do you want? Where is your attention? Are you being true to this? Check it out.